We hear a lot about farm shares and farmers markets, but the developing world of farm shares is extending its branches away from kale and bok choy and all this stuff that most people don't care about at all, to meat, which is what people really care about, unless you're a vegetarian. Jennifer Kaur from Hedy Bell Farm, you have a meat share.
We do. For us, we raise our animals on grass during the grazing season, and then we process those animals in the fall, and we make the meat available throughout the winter. So November through March, folks pick up 12 to 13 pounds of meat a month and enjoy meat throughout the winter.
What kind of meat?
We have ducks, we have chickens, we have lamb, beef, and pork. Then we also raise turkeys and holiday geese.
And you do have some turkeys left for Thanksgiving.
We do.
Are they alive?
They are afoot.
You said process, but I'm going to use the terms that everybody thinks about. Are you slaughtering the animals on the farm?
We are not.
Uh-huh.
No, we send them to a facility that's USDA inspected.
Right. And that seems to be the way it is with most of the people. When you go to the farmers markets that have meat, they send it. Where is this slaughterhouse?
The one that we use is in Westminster, Vermont.
Would there be more locally available meat if there were a local slaughterhouse?
Absolutely.
Right now, there is a poultry mobile unit that does travel through the state and is still being figured out with the Department of Public Health, because when you're talking about slaughtering, you end up having the local Board of Health involved. It's very hard, obviously, for a regular farm to have all the infrastructure in place for processing. We do have a slaughterhouse in Athol, but they are for a large amount of livestock going through that slaughterhouse. So when you have a small farm saying, I have 5 head of cattle that I want done and I want quality cuts, it gets a little more challenging because you're a very small customer for them.
It's a huge issue for meat producers, because you spend, for a cow, for example, if you're raising them 100% on grass, you're spending 2 years raising that animal, and you're doing that as a practice, as a very intentional act. And then you send your animal to the slaughterhouse where that end product could be transformed dramatically based on hanging time, messing up a cut sheet, misapplying your labels. There's just a tremendous weight of that final act in raising animals.
Jennifer Kaur from Hedy Bell Farm and Phil Corman from CESA. You just said it takes 2 years if you're going to raise a cow. As a farmer who's raising cows, do you need to have like a million of these things to make it any way profitable? It seems like it just wouldn't be. If you had 5 head of cattle, you would make like $5,000 and that over 2 years. And for some reason, that doesn't strike me as overly profitable.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. Our model, for example, is based on multi-species grazing. So
right.
We have geese in with our cows, in with our pigs, in with our lambs, and they're working the land together. And that enables us to raise a lot more meat on our 40 plus acres than we could if we were just raising beef cows, for example.
Right.
So in that sense, we're able to sell to 40 families. Those are 40 families that make an investment in our farm. And that's the scale that feels appropriate this year. And, you know, in the next 3 years, we hope to get to 100 members. And then that's sort of it. Like, our 40 acres can support about 100 families in that way. And I think we have to think of it that way. There needs to be sort of meat producers in every community for every community. And I think part of that is getting our head around how we buy meat and the value of meat and what meat should cost.
Because
it is a creature.
It is a creature, and it does take that long time. And it was living and breathing and feeling. And we lose sight of that, I think, because there are so many, you know, meat subsidies that if you don't get a hamburger for 99 cents, you feel like you've been ripped off.
Precisely.
Jennifer from Hedy Bell Farm, did you grow up raising meat?
I didn't. I grew up in suburban America, really, from Portland, Oregon. My husband grew up on a pig farm.
You know, I grew up in suburbia, too. And if somebody said, you can eat meat, but you have to kill it yourself, I would not know what to do and would really question whether I should do it. How do you make that transition to make that your full-time job?
It's a fabulous question. And so we have 2 2-year-old twins, and last night we were eating a duck. And so we had this conversation at the table, duck, like duck. Oh, that's the duck. And you see this sort of face of perplexion. Yep, that's the duck that we had outside 2 weeks ago. That's it. So we are living that sort of question. How do you explain that all the time? And for us, it's about being a part of a natural cycle. We obviously believe that we're carnivores. Different people come down on different sides of that argument. And so if we eat meat, then is it not a responsible act and a right livelihood to sort of raise animals in a way where they get to live in their natural environment and follow their natural cycles and eat the plants they would choose to eat, et cetera, et cetera, and not be stressed? Being part of that rhythm, being part of that life, actually feels really honorable.
When my 4-year-old tells my mother from Boston that we're having dead chicken tonight for dinner, she flips out. And I think, way to go, Enzo.
Yeah.
Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, and Jennifer Kaur from Hedy Bell Farm, buylocalfood.org.